Okay, right before I introduce Ron to you, I want us to say our favorite Bible verse together, 2 Corinthians 2:14. So if you would say that with me. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. And God's here this morning. Ron Harrison is with us this morning, and he's got the fragrance of God about him. And we're just going to receive that fragrance and let that permeate us again. So hallelujah. I've already said a little bit about Ron. Would you welcome Ron Harrison to share with us?
Amen. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. God is good, isn't he? It's good to be here in Kaiser. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I know you may, I think highly of this place. I don't know about you, but I just enjoy coming here. Amen. Driving from Columbus, coming here, it's a joy. And I always know when I reach Kaiser, I can see those mountains out there. So that's a good thing. Amen. So we're just glad to be here. God has truly blessed us to be with you this week. And as the pastor said, we're hoping to see you this evening. Clear your schedule. Amen. Hopefully come on out. And you never know what God may do. Amen. As you've been obedient to the Spirit of God. Amen. 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 So I thank God for Gordon and Debbie Brubaker. Amen. It's just been a joy since we met. And we built relationship. How many know that God is all about relationship? Amen. He really is. Somebody said, well, you got scripture for that? Yep. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And their relationship with one another. Amen. So relationship is important. Even you being here is important. Amen. So I was just thinking earlier this morning how we're connected to the universal body of believers. Amen. So don't look at it, you being small, because you're not small in the collective of things. And it is that we're tied to Jesus Christ, and the word is being preached all over the world. And people are being born again, receiving Jesus as their Savior. And because of that, they're part of the royal family, and we're part of that family. So there's more to our family than what you see. Amen? So that's a beautiful thing when you know that. Praise God. So we're just excited about being here. I mean, we thank God for, as I said, your ministry here. We constantly pray for you guys. Amen? Because I believe how God gets things done is when we pray. Sometimes the problem is we're praying so much for our needs, not praying for others. I'll just let that sink in for a minute. Amen. Praise God. Because he called us to pray, because he's going to supply our needs. That's already covered. But he wants us to pray for the family members and people on our street, pray for our city, pray for our government, pray for those, amen, who are in leadership, pray for our students, pray for children, because prayer invites God to move. Some people ask, well, God, why God don't move? All this chaos is going on. Why he don't move? Well, he can't move unless we ask. And asking is prayer. Amen. And I love, amen, having always known that. But when I didn't know that, I began to operate in that even more. Praise God. So we're just excited about here being here. We bring you greetings from Columbus, Ohio. We're Kingdom Faith International Christian Center, where we actually are our chief servant over. My wife also, she's in ministry with me. And she's not here. She's my junior high school sweetheart. I looked at her when I left the house. I said, I don't know how I'm going to do this without you. I need to see you. Praise God. She said, you got Jesus. Go ahead. You'll be all right. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. But we just thank God for her. Amen. She just, she's my junior high school sweetheart. You probably heard me say that. We've been married now for about 44 years. And God has preserved our lives. I always tell people marriage is spiritual. It's not natural. It's spiritual, and therefore it takes God to hold the marriage together, not us, but God in the midst of that. Praise God. So we've learned how to do that. Amen. So are you excited about the Word of God today?
Yes.
Amen. I looked on the outside of y'all building, amen, and it said living faith. Is that all right? You know, when you go down to, what's that, the Family Dollar, praise God, you want to go in there and make sure they got some supply, something you can buy, right? You don't want to go in Family Dollar and they selling tickets. So what's on the outside of the building should be what's on the inside of the building. Is that all right? So living faith, that means you love the Lord and you love his word. Is that all right? So that's what we're going to give you there. We give you the Word of God. I'm here to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, how's that so? Because he saved me. Amen. When I was 25 years old, he got a hold of me. I didn't get a hold of him. He got a hold of me. Somebody said, you know, when I was lost, I found the Lord. Amen. No, he found me. Praise God. Because I was lost. I didn't know where he was. Praise God. But he found me. He found me. How many know he'll find you right where he needs to find you? Amen. Sometimes we get it mixed up. We want to take credit for everything. But really, it's all about what he has done for us. Amen. So he found me when I was 25 years old. And he showed me some things about who I was concerning, amen, the Word of God and what he's promised me in this life as well as the next. So I'm thanking God for my ability to be able to stand before you. He has graced me to be able to do that. And I'm hoping that you'll hear the Spirit, what the Spirit has to say unto you today, because I believe it will bless you and encourage you and will strengthen you, fortify you, help you in the time in which we're living right now. How many know the devil ain't fighting fair today? Praise God. Amen. He's doing everything he can to discourage you. Amen. Somebody said, I don't want to fight. Well, as soon as you receive Jesus, amen, you've been marked. And he don't like Jesus, so therefore he don't like you either, praise God. But you know what? We don't like him either, praise God. Is that all right? As long as he stay on his side of the road, which is under my feet, praise God, everything is fine. Amen? Amen. So we're just grateful for being here today. Amen. I'm excited. Amen. I woke up this morning. Amen. I was honoring the Lord this morning, thanking him for another day that I've never seen before. Even though we call this day Sunday, you know, we label things and we forget the meaning of what really the day really means. This is the day, my God, that the Lord has made. And let us rejoice and be glad therein. Amen. So you know what? You need to be thankful that you woke up this morning, praise God, with your right mind, praise God, and had a mind to come and fellowship with the believers because God is doing something here in Kaiser, praise God. I believe that. I believe my prayer over Kaiser is just been God be Lord over Kaiser. Amen. There's a lot of history. Amen. A lot of, even this building has a lot of history in it. There's a lot. We come on the shoulders of our forefathers. Amen. Those who have prayed, those who have believed, those who have trusted God. And now we are standing in the place so somebody can stand on our shoulders. Amen. So what? Still believe God. I'm hoping you're praying for your children, your grandchildren, even though they look like they didn't went crazy and went north. But that don't mean that God can't get a hold of them. Can y'all say amen? All righty, praise God. So he's a lively one. Yes, I am. Amen. Living faith. That's what the Bible said. That's what they said outside. Living faith. Is that right? Well, praise God. Amen. We don't have to be allowed to be alive. We just need to be who God has called us to be. Amen. All right. Well, let's pray so we can get right into this word. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us before these kings and priests that are called by your name. Our desire is that you would show yourself strong this week, Father. This is the launching day. This is the day that you would launch and do something in terms of prophetically speaking to the hearts and the minds of your people. We bind the enemy and all his devices. We pray even now that the Word of God will come forth with such power, such revelation, knowledge, and people will get an impartation of the truth, Father, to the degree that they'll want more. So, Lord, we thank you even now, as you said in your word, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So, Lord, we thank you today, Father, for this opportunity. We yield ourselves to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Come on, Holy Spirit, use this vessel for the glory of God. This we pray, this we ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want to kind of talk to you today prophetically today. You know, prophetically is all about the Bible. You know, the prophetic counsel of God when God calls those things to be not as though they were. So sometimes prophetically has to deal with what we are right now as a church. When I say church, we're talking about ecclesia, called out ones. We're not just talking about an organization. Because when Jesus said upon this rock, he said, I will build my church. He wasn't talking about a denomination. Sometimes we think wrong because our definition is off. But because that is so, sometimes we segregate ourselves sometimes and don't realize it's not about the Baptist or the Pentecostal or the Apostolic. It's about those who receive Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life. Now they're part of the body of Christ. Regardless of what denomination they may be, they still had to come in the same way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I'm the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Amen. So as we come into that place of understanding that, it's a powerful, powerful, powerful. It's so powerful. Amen, because it will help illuminate you to understand that you're part of something much bigger, amen, that you're fellowshipping in even right now. So with that being said, amen, I want to kind of talk to you because God wants to prepare us because the end times are upon us right now. I don't know if you watch the news, you've lived long enough like I lived. And there was crazy for going back 40 years from now, people carrying guns in school was just crazy. It was unheard of, is that right? But you can see that time is weighing down. Immorality is taking place. There's a digression that's taking place. Things are changing right before our eyes, but a church is right in the midst of it. We're right in the midst of it. So God, amen, he wants me to tell you, amen, don't, amen, forget that you need one thing. You need this one thing that's going to help you throughout your walk in your relationship from this point on. Because we're praying that God things get better, but Jesus said they're not going to get better. Is that all right? Amen. We want him to get better, but you know what? For him to come, things have to be fulfilled. And he has already talked about some things that are going to happen that's going to shake the foundations of the earth that cause people to cry out for the Lord. But in the midst, as the church, amen, is in the midst of that, we have to have something. One thing we need, if I could talk about one thing that you're going to need, and you're going to have to fight to keep it too, because the enemy, amen, he comes to steal, to kill, and what? Destroy. Jesus said, I come that you may have life. Come on, talk to me. And life, what? More what? So the abundant life, amen, has a lot to do with your relationship with the Word. Your relationship with the Word. Not so much your relationship, you coming here in service, but what you do after the service, are you understanding that the Bible said man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So what am I saying? How many had breakfast this morning? Don't raise your hand, praise God. Amen, glory to God. You know, because I didn't have breakfast like you did, but praise God. If you had breakfast this morning, you fed your physical body. You fed your physical man. But the thing that church realizes, you're not just physical, you have a spirit also inside of you. And your spirit needs to be fed. See, and when you feed your spirit is when you read the Word. And when you read the Word, amen, the Word, amen, has a way of doing something inside of you. Amen. It has something to do, something in you that you're not even aware of. Can y'all say amen? So what is the one thing, amen? I'm getting around to that, praise God. Because right now I'm building up your appetite. Because touch your neighbor and say, you need this one thing. Or look at somebody and say, you need this one thing. Amen. You know, a need is something that you cannot subjectively move away from. You know, just like if you want to drive here today, you need your keys to your car. My God. If not, you're not going to get here. Is that all right? How many of you ever lost their keys? Amen. Put your hands down. Don't raise your hands. Praise God. Amen. And you're walking through the house. Too bad you don't have the clapper where you can clap. And then the keys will ring and let you know where they were. But you're tearing under the pillow. You're looking here. You're looking there. Because you need that one thing to get moving. You need that one thing. Because without it, amen, you can be delayed on your time. You can't get to your appointment. Amen. If you don't have the keys, you can't get the kids where they need to go. Amen. Can't get to the grocery store. You can't keep that schedule, that things to do list that you have. Because you need that one thing. That one thing, amen, will get you moving. There's one thing prophetically that you and I need in the last times is what we need is godly vision. If you don't have godly vision, you're not going to make it when chaos, amen, comes to your house, come to your home, come to your neighborhood. There's a lot of believers that are discouraged today because they have not developed what we call godly vision. Somebody said godly vision. Godly vision is important because what godly vision does, it changes how you see things. It changes how you see things. Basically, you can see some things, but seeing is not just seeing. Seeing, amen, after you see, you have to now program or process what you see. Because when you process, when you see something, you process it, then that's what you believe. Can y'all say amen? So the Bible said faith come by and hearing by the word. So our believing is not just seeing. Our believing is intelligent believing by the word. Through what? Believing what God says as we read his word and intelligently receiving it, understanding it, and it creates vision for our perception about life will change if we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is information. Yes. Touch your neighbor, say, faith is not a feeling. It's information. So the more information you get about God, you're not governed by just your sight alone. You're governed by intellectual knowledge from God's word, which will now guide you. Can y'all say amen? So I'm fighting to keep my godly vision. Because when I see CNN, I get discouraged. When I see ABC News, I get discouraged. Come on now. NBC, I get discouraged. Sometimes I get around people who are not tied to the word of God because they have no hope in God. They're discouraged. And then what they say, it seems like there's no hope. Yeah. We're all on survival mode. Is that all right? We're all trying to protect ourselves from hurt, harm, and danger. Are you listening to me today? But if we read the word, we understand that God is our father. And we're his children. And any good father would take care of his children. That's all right. I said good father, is that right? I didn't say any father. I said any good father will protect what? His children. How many know that God is good? Amen. Tell your neighbor, say God is good. Because God is good, you know what? He's going to take care of us. But it's only to those who walk by faith and not by sight. Can y'all say amen? Amen. All right, our scripture reference is found in Psalms 119:105. Amen. So I've got some scriptures we're going to touch, and hopefully we'll get through the part we need to get through today, and then tonight we'll pick up the other part, because you need this one thing, amen. You won't be able to make it, like I said, because you'll be upset, you'll be discouraged, you'll be disgruntled. Even some people are upset with God because of what they see. But the Bible said, while we look not at the things that are seen, because the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. We're more concerned about the eternal word of God. And somebody said, well, why are we concerned about that? Because God made us a promise, his promise in his word. And the word says that he can't lie. Is that all right? Well, if God can't lie, amen, he promised you something, but if it haven't manifested yet, then we have a need of patience. Is that all right? Patience says, you know, I'm going to hold true to what he said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in my relationship with God, knowing that my labor is not in vain. Touch your name, say, your labor is not in vain. Some of y'all been serving God for a long time, but you know what? God keeps good accounting. Yes, he does. All right? And he knows how to, what? Pull your name up and see whether you've been faithful or not. At the end, we want him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Psalms 119:105, when you're there, just say amen. It says here, just that one scripture, Psalms 119:105. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Can you agree with me that the world is getting darker? Now you can raise your hand. Praise God. Amen. You agree? So if getting darker, amen, this scripture says that the word will give you light. Y'all didn't hear that today. Some people, It said the word, now if it's getting darker, the only light we can get is from the word. Is that all right? I was in a hotel room and it was dark in the room, turn all the lights out. How many know when you try to find something in the dark, it's very discouraging. Y'all know what I'm saying? It's very discouraging. I'm feeling around, and then this is dawned on me. He said, why waste your time? Just turn the light on. So when I turned the light on, I went directly to what I was looking for. How many know, amen, the world that we're living in right now, amen, it's going to get darker, amen, but the Bible said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God wants to light your way through your darkness. He wants to light your way through the things that we face in life. He wants to let you know there's a way to come out. Even though you may be in it, you can come out. You can be in debt, but you can come out of debt. Come on, you can be what sick, but you can come out of sickness. Amen. You can be discouraged and move from discouragement to joy and hope. Amen. You can come out of it. The only way you can come out of it, you got to believe what the word of God is saying about you. Am I talking right? Amen. The Bible even tells us, amen, that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I need God's word to talk to me when I'm hearing things that's so discouraging around me. I need him to talk to me through the word. I need to read something that will lift my spirit to let me know, amen, he has not forgotten me, but yet he has promised to take us from here to there. Somebody said from here to there. See, in your life, you can look back. He has taken you from here to there. Why would he take you somewhere and then stop? No. He showed you, if you remember in time past, amen, he was trying to teach you something, how to trust in him when you can't trace him. Sometimes you got to trust God when you don't even know what God is doing. Because God is God. Is that all right? Let's look at another scripture. Y'all got that? Let's look at Proverbs 6:23. In Proverbs 6:3, this is good too. Amen. This is another scripture I looked at. In Proverbs 6:23. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Proverbs 6:23. When you're there, just say amen. In Proverbs 6:23, I'll make sure I got this right. Amen. 6:23. Yeah. It says, for the commandments is a lamp. Y'all hear that? And the law is the light. And it reproves instructions and are the way of life. I like this because the Bible says that the word is designed to help you in life. This is important because some people's perception about God is off. Because they think it's about service and duty. They think it's about a merit system. If I do so much, I can earn my way into heaven. I can, you know, if I give so much to the poor, God will see that I'm a good person. How many know that that's not the right perception we should have, because the word will change your perception and let you know that's not the correct way. The correct way is that God is trying to show us that he sent his son, Jesus, that will help us, amen, to receive a Savior that's coming in our life to change our life, amen. Yes. To change the way you live. Is that all right? He didn't just come so you can, just can have service, but no, he wants you to, live in him so you can serve him. Is that making any sense? Yes. Now, I like this scripture because it talks about the word of God is designed to do something other than letting us see. It's also designed, amen, to give us a reproof or instruction. Somebody say reproof. Somebody say instructions. Then it says here in the Amplified, it says, for the commandment is a lamp and a whole teaching of the law is light, is reproof of discipline, our way of life. Jesus said, I come that you may have life and have it what? Do you not know this life that he's talking about is dependency upon Jesus and using the name of Jesus, because we're children of God, and that because of that, God wants to help us through life. That's a beautiful thing. Some people just want the blessing, but I want the life blessing. Help me through life. Is that all right? Because when God helps you through life, that means you live life a different way. And then when you live life a different way, that means your dependency is not upon yourself and your humanism and your intelligence or your degree. Amen. You know that your strength comes from the Lord. You know your dependency is upon what he will do for you, not what you do for yourself. So now you're a child. You're always in a place of humility and submission to his word so he can continue to show himself strong in you. So when he gets the glory, comes inside of you, you can't stand up and say you've done it. You can only say it was just by the grace of God that I am where I am. It's by the grace of God, I'm able to do what I'm able to do. It's by the grace of God, amen, that I have the love of God inside of me. It's nothing that I pay for, nothing that I can do, but I couldn't pay the price. The price was too high. Jesus is the only one that could pay the price, amen, to change my life. Once he changed my life, he made a deposit in you and me. That deposit that's in you right now is to help you live in a place of dependency upon God. I need God like a breath of air right now. I need God just like you need God, amen. You don't need money. You need God, because God will supply everything else you need when you get God in the right perception of who he is. Can y'all say amen? Oh, I'm preaching already, amen. I'm preaching amen already. And I got a few amens. I didn't get even one amen out of that, but that's all right. Praise God. Are y'all listening today? Praise God. Because God preaching means to encourage, to promote. When you watch a TV program, when you watch a commercial, amen, it's preaching to you. Why is it preaching to you? It's informing you about a product. What is the product? He wants you to buy the product, praise God. Listen, God wants us to hear the preaching of the word, because the word will power you in your spirit, get you out of a certain mindset that you've been trapped in, and now you can be able to see things the way God has seen it and know that, you know what, I believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think, according to his power that's working in me right now. Somebody say right now. See, that's what God wants to do, because he know he can't change you unless you hear the word. If you don't hear the word, he can't change you, because you're still stuck in how you think, still stuck in how you feel, still stuck in your experience and your past experience. And now you use that as reference that it's always going to be this way, when the Bible says it's not going to be that way if we trust God, because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think, according to the power that's working in us right now. Somebody said there's some power working in me right now. Because you couldn't keep yourself. You'd have left a long time ago, praise God. Amen. God wouldn't let you leave. He still won't let you leave. Amen. You'll try to leave, but he will remind you and let you know that you need him more than breath and air itself. Right? Somebody say amen up in here. Let's go over to 2 Peter. Are y'all still with me? We're reading a lot of scriptures today, because what? The Bible said the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So 2 Peter, amen. That's where we want to go. 2 Peter, amen. Let's look at another verse. 2 Peter 1 and 19. Amen. 2 Peter 1 and 19. Glory to God. Thank you for your word today. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you. 2 Peter 1 and 19. And it reads as following. It says here, it says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Somebody say prophecy. It says, whereunto do we well that take heed as unto the light that shineth in the dark. And it says, unto the dawn and the day stars arise in your heart. Now, this is, again, 1 Peter. Amen. Is that what I said, 1 Peter? Oh, no, I said 2 Peter. 2 Peter. That's right. It is. That's it. Let me make sure I'm right here. It is 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1 and 19. Amen. Peter's talking to the church. He's letting them know that there's some prophecy. When you look at the word prophecy, it's really promises. It's God promising you. Prophecy. It's a promise from God. How many know God, he promised us some things in this life as well as the next. He promised that he was going to send his son Jesus. After 42 generations, Jesus comes. When God promises something, he's willing something that's not existing as of right now. So here it says, he's telling them, where we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that take heed. Somebody said, take heed.
Take heed.
So take heed is to pay attention, to listen, as unto the light that shineth in darkness, and unto the day that the day stars arise in your heart. Somebody said, in your heart. Now, this says here in the Amplified, it says the prophetic word made firm is still today. It's still sure today. It said you will do well to pay close attention as the lamp is shining, amen, and dispelling the light. I mean, the darkness, praise God. Now, one thing we have to understand is the one thing we need is we have to put our eyes on Jesus. The Bible says looking unto who is the
author
and the of your faith. That means he started something in you, and it's not your job to finish it. He's going to finish it. So you can relax. Somebody said, just relax. See, sometimes we try to take it on ourselves, spirituality and growth and all that. It's our cooperation with God, because God will do it, but he needs you to let him drive the vehicle. Is that all right? Because sometimes we want to drive the vehicle and he gets in the back seat. He's not getting in the back seat. Jesus is not a back street driver. Somebody say, Jesus is not a back seat driver. He wants to be in the forefront of your heart. You have to keep looking unto Jesus. So when we're looking unto Jesus, what are we looking unto? We're looking unto the Word. We're looking unto the Word. Somebody say, we're looking unto the Word. You have to develop an appetite for the Word. I can't say this now. It's not just for the preacher. It's wrong to put it all on the preacher to know the word, because the preacher, amen, his job is to help you know the word.
Yes.
Well, I'm preaching already. Preach, boy, preach, boy, preach. It's for you to take the information and then put it in your eye gate, in your ear gate, so it get down in your heart. Because
yes.
What you put in your eye gate and ear gate will get in your heart. Right now, if I had to take a peep at your spirit to see how healthy your spirit was, some of your spirits are malnourished because you won't take the time to read it. The only time you get a good appetite is when you come on Sunday, and that may be the only time you read the Word of God, and that not, should not be. It should not be, because what, when the one thing we need in order to develop godly vision, we have to have an appetite for your Word. If we feed our flesh like we do our, like we should do our spirit, we'd be well balanced. Is that all right? Because I'm going to get a good meal when I get done today, praise God. Is that all right? But I need the spirit of God's word to speak and feed my inner man. We need the word to feed you, because the more you eat, listen, they got commercials out like this. You know, this one commercial got out, and the commercial shows someone who's acting out of character. So they had the one guy, and he's a male, but he's acting like Aretha Franklin. He's just all acting up. He's just acting up. And somebody gave him a Snickers bar. He ate it, and he came back to himself. Do you not know eating keeps you from being frustrated? If we didn't feed you all week, come on here, somebody. We'll really find out how much fruit you got inside of you. Because what? Something will, if you stop feeding people, people get hostile. They get angry, you know. You know, because why? It's an appetite, because they have not been fed nourishly, amen, to keep them sound. When you eat physical bread, it's more than just your pleasure of eating. Your body needs the nutrients to keep your heart pumping, your lungs pumping, your liver, all that thing functioning and operating. Those things, eating is not just for pleasure. My God, it's for nourishment, praise God. Because what? If you don't eat Amen. After a while, you will die, praise God. So it is in the spirit, glory to God. And Lord, we have to have an appetite for God's word. My prayer is God will stir up your appetite for his word. Amen. You need a daily devotion that you read weekly. Amen. I have one on my phone that I will just read daily just to get the word and remind me. Amen. Remind me and then build faith up inside. Listen, when you read the word, fear has to come up out of you. Doubt will leave you. Amen. Amen. Double-mindedness will leave you. When you read more of the word and you know it's for you, it has a way of feeding your spirit, man. And your spirit, man, will stand up inside of you and overtake your natural man, because it will speak to you and tell you that God is not a man that he shall lie. And the test that you in right now is just a test of your faith. But be ye still and know that God is still God, and he will bring you through. See, it has a way of speaking to you, amen. Amen. When you learn how to eat the word of God, you don't have to know Genesis through Revelations, but you need some word through the week that will talk to you and let you know that you are not alone. And these bills, somebody just said, Jesus is going to help me. God's going to help me. Whoever, Jesus or God, they're going to help me pay these bills. Amen. Amen. Am I talking right today? Oh, I know I'm talking. We want the preacher to do everything. Oh, I know I'm talking right. People tell me, you know what, I ain't growing spiritually. Then they leave. They leave the ministry because they say they ain't growing spiritually. I said, wait a minute. I mean, we eating good every week. The word has been given every week. The word, good word given up every week. I'm not the only one ministering. There's other people that minister the word. What you're really saying, you're not getting the word to grow by. But no, you're not applying the word that you hear. Come on. If you don't apply the word you hear, you can't grow. And because everything looks stale and ain't growing, it could be your perception is off because you're not eating the word. But if you eat the word, then your perception get right, and you understand, you know, everything is good because you're good with God and God is good with you, and you understand who you are in Christ, what you received in Christ, how to appropriate the word of God in everyday living, how to be effective witness to those who are lost. The devil is fighting tooth and nail to keep you out of the word of God. He know the Bible is a living word. Yes. If you want to touch God, you touch the Bible. Yes. You want to know about God? It's the Bible. Yes. If you want to know about what God wants to do, and if everything you need is in the Bible, yes. Somebody say everything pertaining to life and godliness, yes it is. Yes. Somebody say amen. Amen. I got another scripture for you. Are y'all still with me? Yes. Let's look at amen. Proverbs 29 and 18. Now, this is my scripture. That was, all that was introduction. But this is the scripture I want to really talk about it. This scripture is powerful. Because I want to encourage you that you need to get a daily routine of just reading the Word of God. Just read it. When you read it, you expose your spirit to the Word. Somebody say, when I read it? Somebody say, when I read it? When I read it, when I read the Word of God, expose my spirit to the Word. In other words, the Word, amen, will start doing something in you when you don't even know what's taking place. That's how powerful the Word is. Proverbs 29 and 18, amen. It says here, if you're there, it says, where there is no vision, it said the people perish. Then it says, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. In Amplified, it says, where there is no vision, somebody say vision. It says, no redemptive revelation of God. That's what it talks about. No redemption revelation of God. We're going to test that in just a minute because that's important. It says, the people perish. But he who keeps the law, it says, of God, which includes man, blessed, happy, and it says, fortunate and enviable is he. How many know if you can get some fruit off a tree and take that fruit and set it on the counter of your house, don't eat it, in a week's time, how many know it will what? How many know the rotting starts within before it shows itself without? Is that right? So there's over time now, because you can take that fruit, you can eat it that day, is that all right? You can eat it maybe the next day, but if you take it a couple of weeks, then that, over time, somebody say over time. Over time, there's a rotting away. Now notice what the scripture says here. It says where there is no vision, that word vision is revelation. Yes. Now one of the reasons why you want to read the word, why the devil fights you so you don't read the word, he knows when you read the word, you get revelation. Yes. Now what is revelation? Revelation is when you read something, God has the ability. Now you've authorized God by the Holy Spirit to put something in your spirit based upon what you've already read. because you expose yourself to it. So when you read the word, somebody say, when I read the word, so you don't have to know the Hebrew and the Greek, but if you just read the word, now you've given God the authority to write something on your heart and your mind based upon what you have written. Is that all right? Now, what he wants to remind you of, something, because it says here, it says that revelation is really a divine insight that comes from God's word to us and to our spirit man. Now, it says here, amen, it said, where there's no redemptive revelation of God. So this redemptive revelation has to deal with Jesus being our Savior. Is that all right? Not only is he our Savior, amen, he's also our Lord. There's some people okay with him being Savior, but they don't want him to be Lord. Mm-hmm. We sing the song, Savior. I'm not going to do that. But how many know we got to move from Savior to
Lord?
See, because sometimes Savior is God's mercy and the grace of God and all that. Lord is when you have to come to a place called obedience.
Yeah.
And obedience is hard when you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I talk by experience. I know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of things God has in the Bible that tells us that we need to do, not out of duty, but out of love relationship. If he laid down his life for us, we should be able to lay down our life for him. How much more should we do? But that's out of what? Discipline. And discipline has a lot to do with us working on ourselves. Somebody said working on ourselves. Now, I like this because it says without what? Said redemptive revelation of God. There's a scripture I'm going to read that ties you to the redemptive revelation of God. You're in the Bible. You're in the Bible. Did you not know you're in the Bible? Some people don't believe that. You're in the Bible. Some say, I'm in the Bible? Yeah, you're in the Bible. You are actually in the Bible. He doesn't call you by name, but through the blood of Jesus Christ and relationship with Christ, he identifies you as being the church, which is ecclesia, the called out ones. So when you read the epistles, the apostles are talking about the church or believers that refers to us even today. That still stands true today. What is he trying to get us? He's trying to get us out of one mindset to another mindset. He's trying to also remind us, don't forget the one thing that God has done for you. One thing you can never forget. Do you remember that time, that day, amen, that week that happened, but it was on that day that you confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. You cannot forget that, because that's a reminder that you've been saved. You've been saved by your confession in the cross. Not only the cross, but also what he has done for you, amen, as he rose from the dead. How many know Jesus is not dead? He is still alive. Amen. He has made us a promise. The promise is that we're his children, and now we got to grow up to be children of God, and that comes by us understanding the one thing we need to do. Can y'all say amen?
Amen.
Now, let's go over to Ephesians. Are y'all learning anything? Amen. Ephesians. Amen. I'm doing pretty good here with time. Amen. Amen. Ephesians, where we want to go. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 4. Because now we're going to show you a glimpse about what this word redemption means. And it says over in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 4. And it says here, let me get over here. It says, but God. Or let's start at the first verse. It says, and you have he quickened were dead in trespasses and sin. It says, when in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, and by spirit now work of, and the spirit that now work of in the children of what? Disobedience. Third verse is, among whom also you had your conversations in time past in the lust of your flesh, and fulfilling the desires of flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now he's telling the church, you ain't always been saved. Is that all right? He's trying to tell the church means ecclesia, the church, the group of believers that were in Ephesus, amen. Paul was trying to remind them that don't forget, amen, just because you're in the church and you're of Jesus Christ, he had to remind them you didn't get here by your own merit. You didn't get here by your own ability. You wasn't a good person when you got born because you had still the Adam sin nature that followed man from Genesis all the way to the time of Christ. No one could do what? Obey the Ten Commandments. Nobody could observe it. And because of that, he knew that because the commandments were spiritual and not natural. He said, you were natural trying to receive something spiritual, but you need to be born again. That's why the Bible said be quickened. That means to quicken means made alive. He said, God made you alive. He brought you out of that place. And then he talks about the BC in our life. How many know everybody got BC in our life? You know what the BC is? Before Christ. That means you there's some things that we did that we wouldn't publicly tell everybody about. Amen. Because what, we're ashamed of it. Amen. Because we didn't think we would even lower ourselves to do those things. Praise God. But everybody has some BC. The BC is before we received Christ. Amen. What he's saying here, you had that in your time past. But then he gets to the fourth verse, because the fourth verse is going to help them remember where you need to keep your focus. Your focus in the redemptive power of God has to deal with the redemptive plan of Christ. God had redeemed us from the curse of the law. He has redeemed us, amen, from sickness and poverty and death. He has paid the price. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I'm just trying to let you hear this, because if you don't hear it, you won't have faith for it. That car you're driving right now, some of you bought it because you had faith for it. Some of you said, well, I didn't have faith money. That's all the money I had, so I got that car, praise God. But listen, the faith come by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He said, but God. That's what he says here. He's telling him, he said, but God, who was rich in mercy, it says, for his great love wherewith he loved us. And then he says, even when we were dead and in sin, but have quickened us together with Christ, and by grace are you saved. He gives them a description of what the redemptive plan was and how redemptive came by a person. His name is Jesus. He's the only one that could pay the price for our sins. He's the only one that was pure enough to fulfill the Ten Commandments, because he was not only natural, but he was spiritual. Glory to God, because he came from heaven. He came in what? The womb of Mary, praise God. And the angel said, call his name Jesus. So Joseph didn't name him. Heaven named Jesus. And Jesus is the name of God that he put down in his son. And he is the last Adam, amen, that's coming to take place of the first Adam that messed up, to put his right standing with God, because what he shed his blood for the whole world. Somebody said, for the whole world. Jesus died for the whole world. Let that sink in for a minute, because that changed. He didn't just die for just Kaiser, amen. He dies for the whole world. Somebody said, you got scripture for that? Yes, I do. Praise God. In John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his, that whosoever what? Shall not what? But have what? By accepting Jesus, Jesus comes down. When you say, Jesus come into my heart, he changes your nature. He quickens you on the inside. He evicts something, and then he takes his residence inside of you. Now, I'm not going to ask, have you ever been evicted? It ain't a pretty thing. They put all your stuff out on the street, put all your business out on the street. That's what he did with Adam's sin nature. He took that that was controlled by the enemy, because the enemy was using that to keep us in bondage. And we were in bondage. We couldn't get free. Joseph couldn't get free. Elijah couldn't get free. But praise God, God raised up Isaac, amen, Isaiah, and he said, unto us a child is born. He was looking prophetically in time, even though it wasn't came yet. God has spoken it, and it was going to come to past. And now the vision is going to change, because we have hope. The hope in God gives you vision. Amen. Not only that, but as you understand that God has made a promise and it's got to be fulfilled. So the Bible says here, he said, but God, who was rich in mercy. Somebody said rich in mercy. It said, even his great love, wherever he loved us. Amen. And then it said, even when we were dead in sin and have quickened together with Christ, and by grace are you saved. How many know we're saved by grace? We're not saved by works. Amen. You're not saved by coming to church. Well, I came to church today, Lord. You know, I came last week. You can't come. I came to church, so therefore I'm saved. No, you come to church because you are saved. Praise God. Because this is where the believers meet. Amen. Amen. If I want to meet for people at the bar, I go down to the bar and meet people at the bar. Praise God. But if you're going to meet the saints, you're going to be in a place called the church. The church means what? It's a building that God's created that shelters us from the rain, the sleet, and the snow. But when we're here, it's collective of belief. You're not the only one saved in this place. They say, I'm saved too. And the reason why you're saved, because you what? Received Jesus. Listen, this morning, even though they weren't in this fellowship, there were millions of believers. My God, I could say billions, of all over the world that have position themselves to come to a place of worship, gathering themselves arm in arm with other believers, because we have that same faith and we're all trying to pursue that same thing that we need to pursue, and that is continue to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. If he started in you, he's the one that's going to see it through. I don't care what the world looks like. I don't care how dark it's going to get. I don't care what CNN says, ABC says, amen. It doesn't matter what God says. He said he's going to keep those who put their trust in him, and because we trust in the Lord with all our heart, come on here, and lean not to our own understanding. And all our ways ways we will acknowledge him, and he will direct my path. Direct me out of my poverty. Direct me out of my sickness. Direct me out of my pain and my sorrow. Direct me out. Don't leave me there. Be my Savior and my Lord in the process. Somebody said, looking unto Jesus. We got to keep looking unto him. We got to keep looking. He's reminding them. Then he goes on to say this, and this is beautiful. In the seventh verse, it says here, it says, and that in the ages to come, that he might show his exceeding great riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. You know, we got saints now, amen. When I say saints, we're talking about believers who've walking with the Lord for a while now. Now they got some seniority in terms of the Spirit. But God is still good. He's still good. He's still merciful. He's still kind. I put this on the table. He's still working it out when you don't think he ain't working it out. The sister gave the testimony about being sick last year. I just had surgery last year, prostate surgery, and thank God, no cancer. Come on now. I believe because I was feeding that word in me. By his stripes, I'm already healed. I was claiming what was mine before they claimed it. Try to claim me. Is that all right? So God blessed me to get through last year. Some of y'all couldn't tell it, but I was struggling last year. Amen. Evening service was over with, and pastors invited me over. I said, no, I got to go back to the room. Using common sense. I need to rest this body. Praise God. But here, what am I trying to say? Listen, I know what the sister meant when she said the doctor bill came. The doctor bill came, I said, oh, my God. You know, because you already have things that you need to pay. And I'm thinking in my mind, you know, how I'm going to pay this? But see, when I said, how I'm going to pay this because I've been eating the word, I slipped over into this place that corrected my vision and my thinking. See, when God corrects your vision, he corrects your thinking. Y'all didn't hear that? When God corrects your vision, he corrects your thinking. Because I'm thinking, first I was thinking, well, how I'm going to pay all this? But the word came inside of me because I've been eating the word. See, if you eat the word, it'll speak to you and move you from fear to faith.
Yes, good.
And faith simply means I have confidence in God. I have a conviction that God's not going to leave me in this place. And I believe that somehow he's going to work it out.
Yes.
Does that make any sense?
Yes.
So the scripture that came to my mind was Philippians 4:19, one of my favorite. Everybody should have a favorite scripture. It says, but my God shall supply all of my needs. So I'm looking at the bill, you know, and fear is trying to jump on me because I'm reading the bill. And it got on me to the place where I'm now looking like I'm independent. I forgot I was in covenant. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to fix this instead of saying how God's going to fix this for me. Because what my vision had gotten off because I'm just seeing it and now it changed my mindset. But because the word is able, there's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The more the word I got in me, it worked, sprung up inside me and said, but my God shall supply all of my needs according. So now my vision changed. And because my vision changed, my thinking changed. So I immediately moved from being fear to being hopeful, knowing that he's going to work it out. Then my confession changed because now if I had a choice between me trying to fix it, come on here, and God fixing it for me, I said if I had a choice for me fixing it and God fixing it, well, if I'm intelligent enough, I'm going to let God fix it because why? It's too much weight and too much worry, amen, to be up all night trying to figure out how he's going to fix it. And I can't move all these things around to try to adjust it because he's a great adjuster about all things. But once I made the decision, come on here, somebody, amen, to not to stay in this place of this thinking, you know, well, how I'm gonna pay the bills. James calls it a double-minded. And sometimes we play that sometimes because we don't have enough word inside of it. One minute we believe and one minute we don't believe, amen. One minute we believe, next minute we don't believe. James said that's double-mindedness. That means your mind is shifting because you don't know where to put your mind on. Put your mind on the promises of God. And what God has said, that's your fight. The Bible said, fight the good fight of faith. There's some things you got to fight to keep your mind on the right things. If not, you're going to be discouraged. You're going to be frustrated. You're going to be upset. And to the point where you just don't want to be around the people of God because God ain't working for you. How many know that's a lie? Praise God. So you know what? I got to thinking about that scripture. But my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The more I said it, the more I believed it. But my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. The more I said it, I got more confident. The more I said, the more I believed it. Well, that week, the mailman came back with the next bill the next month. I looked at it and I said, but my God, I started speaking to it now. My God is going to supply all my seeds according to his riches and glory. Because I'm fighting to keep my mind and my vision on God despite what people are trying to tell me. And the enemy sometimes comes to you, well, how are you going to pay that? Sometimes he said, I said, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The more I kept saying, the more I kept saying. And then one day, somebody said, one day. See, when you confess the word, not confess what you see, because that's what the enemy, he wants you to confess what you see. Because when you confess God's word, you invite God to do what he said he's going to do. So all along, I didn't know it. I was inviting God to do what I was confessing, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. I wasn't preaching to nobody. I was preaching to myself. And more I said it, and the next month, another bill came back with the interest because you're late now. You never paid it. Then it's going to the delinquency place. Come on, are y'all talking to me? So what I did, I just kept on quoting the word. But my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And the more I said it, it seemed like I had put up the shield of faith. And when things came to discourage me, when the mailman come, I knew they was coming. I said, come, because I didn't have the answer. But my God, the more I said it, it changed my vision. It changed my thinking. My confession changed. I felt good about myself. I woke up in the morning and said, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. One day, touch your neighbor, say one day. Just one day. See, in one day, things can change in just one day. Sometimes we won't be patient enough to let God change it in one day. We want to change now. No, just be faithful and be consistent and fight the good fight of faith. Now listen, I'm at home minding my business. I get a phone call. And the phone call is from the doctor's office who I owe money to. Are y'all listening? I said, are you listening? So the phone call says, is this Mr. Harrison? I said, yes, it's he. She said, we're just looking at your bill here. We understand that you owe over $4,000 on this bill. And we just wanted to call you today that we have a program now that if you can pay $160 a day, $160 for today, if you can pay $160, we'll forgive the other part of the debt. I said, what you say up in here? I mean, I got to smiling. She couldn't see me smile because I was on the phone. I was like, oh my. I said, look at God. And she said, then I got to thinking, I didn't even have the 160. I said to myself, I can get 160,000. If I had to call Sam and Joe or whoever or Sally, amen, and get $10. Do you not know? I told him, I said, yeah, I can take care of that. Do you not know they forgave over $3,000? Over $3,800 they forgave, just like that. Just like that. Could it be that Jesus tells us as believers, all things are possible to them that believe. The problem is not the devil. The problem is our belief has not been nurtured enough to believe.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
We haven't nurtured ourselves enough to believe. And some of us are just stuck because you're stuck because you haven't understand how you come out. All Jesus asks you, just believe. Can you muster it up enough? Mustard seed just to believe that I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly. Above all, I can ask or think according to the power. If it's just that easy, we should be using that thing, using it. I'm using belief today. Yeah. Something happened in my family, but I'm using my belief today. Listen, my sister, I'm testifying about the goodness of God. I'm telling you something that I know that works, something I know that God's waiting on you to do in terms of feeding your spirit man like you do your natural man. And I ain't saying you got to read from Genesis or Revelations, but I am saying, amen, you need to read some scriptures that will build your faith up to let you know that God is still God and you're still his child and he's still able. He can work it out for you. God is not a God of respect to person. If he has to work it out for this person and that person not working out for you, it could be that you're not feeding your spirit with the word to believe that God can. If you just say, I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. That's all. That just came. Because belief does you no harm. Belief is a place where you dream. the impossible. But the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. It may be impossible with man, but it's not impossible with God. So listen, I'm trying to tell you to build your faith up, amen, to remind you, amen, even if you don't have a routine, ask God to help you give a routine to get in the Word and believe the Word for what it says about you. I have to give you one scripture, it's for free, won't cost you anything. Philippians 4:19. You need to take that and meditate on it. The more you meditate on the Word will do something in your inward man. It will change you. And then you will give God permission when you start saying what the Word says. When you say what He says, you're inviting Him to come and manifest that thing. My sister, amen, she's been taking dialysis now for about 3 or 4 years. So the church has been praying. So we're just not going to take the doctor's report. The Bible said by His stripes she what? She healed, right? So we're praying for her healing. So what happened was, God, amen, He didn't heal her body. You know what God did? God blessed her to get another kidney. I said, wow. She's got a kidney of a 25-year-old. We don't know what happened to that person. All we know that God worked it out, well, she's got a kidney. Now we had to pray that the kidney function right. The more we pray the Word, God can move. Tell your neighbors that if we can pray the Word, if we pray the Word, God can move. When you don't pray the Word, you know what you do? I'm going to give it to you for free. It may smack you, but it's going to be all right. Just hold on. Tell your neighbors, hold on. Yeah, when you don't pray, you know what you do? You worry. Come on. When you don't pray, you worry. Does that make any sense? And God, He doesn't want you worrying anymore. Why? He brought me all the way from Columbus to tell somebody up in here, He don't want you worrying anymore. What He wants you to do to reverse the worrying is called pray. And if we pray, it's not begging. I'm almost done. I'm closing out here. Praise God. Are you listening? When we pray, it's not begging. When we pray, it's not begging. When we pray, it's not begging. As I said this before, we're the only governmental agency in the earth that can use the name of Jesus and get God to move on our behalf. When God moves on our behalf, He may not do it the way you want Him to do it, but that doesn't mean He's not going to move. Are you hearing me? Sometimes He doesn't come when you don't want Him to come, but that don't mean He's not coming. Because God, sometimes He wants you to what? Exercise what we call patience. Patience is when we endure. You heard me say this last time. We endure without what? Somebody remember it. Patience when you endure without doing what? You close. It starts with an E. No. Starts with a C. All right. C-O. What'd you say? Complaining. I'm almost done. Complaining. When you're complaining, you're not in faith. You're in fear. Is that all right? See, we have to recognize, because God loves you enough that He's going to empower you, amen, to do what's necessary to move from one dimension of your thinking to another. But He needs your cooperation to identify where you are so He can show you where you need to be. So when God shows me that I'm complaining, He's really saying, you know what, Ron? It's time for you to change that and change the complaining into praise. Now, praise is basically is just being thankful. Now, to be thankful, it's a voluntary act of your will. I can give somebody $100 right now and they can take it and say, you know what? They can say what? Thank you. Some people can take it and may not say nothing. Because it's a voluntary act. It's a show of respect. Listen, you owe God a lot of thank yous. You owe God a lot of thank yous. And sometimes those thank yous are based upon past things that He has done for you, even in the presence of what He's already done. So it shouldn't be a day that you get up and you should not say, Lord, thank you. And sometimes if you say thank you enough, it leads you into praise. Yes. Oh, I know I'm talking right. Because yes. Sometimes I get up, I say, Lord, I thank you for my wife. Thank you for my kids. Thank you for my four granddaughters. Thank you for my two great-granddaughters. Thank you for my sons, amen. They're married, amen. Thank you, amen, for the neighborhood we live in. Thank you for my car, God. Thank you for my health. Thank you for my strength, God. Thank you for, you know, if you could be having a thankful heart, it adjusts your attitude so that you'd be thankful of what He's done. I mean, if God has done it now, And it's firm, that means he'll do it again and again and again. That's why he says, enter his gates with what? So because when you're thankful to God, it opens up his heart, amen, to want to do more for you. Praise God. Sometimes we don't even have to ask God. We just got to be thankful. Lord, I thank you, amen. Sometimes we'll pray over the food. Lord, I thank you for this food. And some people look at it and say, ain't nothing but food. No, you don't understand. God, there's a day I couldn't eat this steak. Glory to God. I was eating bologna, praise God. I went from bologna to steak, praise God. It's something to give God what thank you for, amen. Some of y'all didn't have a good job, but now you got a good job. Don't be saying, I need another job. Say, Lord, I thank you for the job that you give me, amen. Some of you got kids, amen, and not acting right. Well, thank God for the kids that you do have, because some people's kids, amen, are not even living today. It's something you can always be thankful for. And thankful for shape your mind and your heart to realize, amen, there's nothing to be disgruntled about when you know that God, amen, has blessed you so much, blessed you with your health and your strength, with your children, amen, your job, amen, let you sustain yourself, keep yourself. You're not in jail. You can give God some what? Thanks. Because thanks, amen, is a voluntary act of your free will. If you don't mind where you're sitting right now, raise your hand and say, Lord, I thank you, praise God. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for what you're going to do. I thank you, God, that I believe that you're able to do for me that I can't do for myself. When God hears you say thank you because of the act of your free will, he knows that you're showing respect to his name, respect to his authority, respect to his power, that he's able to keep you when you can't keep yourself. Amen. When he has you to keep sickness off of you when sickness tries to get on you, amen. When he keeps, amen, from people trying to steal your money, because sometimes we get of age and people try to use advantage of it, but God still knows how to keep us when we can be thankful for who he is. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endure forever. Amen. When we thank God, sometimes I'm 66, I'll be 64, amen, next month, and I'm thanking God, amen, he has kept this old body, amen, looking good, praise God. And I feel like I can run over a wall, praise God, but I know I can't do that, but I just feel that way sometimes, amen. But when you know that God has been good to you, glory to God, you can't just look at what he hasn't done. You got to look what he's already doing, amen. And God has saved us, amen, that we can be called the children of the Most High God, amen. And now that we have the authority to use the name of Jesus, we're the only one can say, Jesus, can you help me? And the Father will stand up and say, I know him. I know her. Why? Because we have received his blood inside of our hearts. Come on and give God a praise. Can y'all do that? Can y'all just praise God for who he is? Not praise me, but praise God for who he is. Praise God for what he's done. Praise God for what he's going to do. Amen. Because he's been good. We're praying that God will keep us, amen, in perfect health. We're praying that God will keep our minds right, amen, in perfect health. We're praying that God, amen, will keep us strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, amen. We don't want to be the church that falls away, amen, because we once knew God, but we fell away because we were unthankful. We want to remain faithful, unthankful, and faithful unto him. So, Lord, we thank you today, God. Even as we take this time, we just want to thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for our grandparents and that pray for us, God. There's people that have witnessed, amen, amen, the life of Jesus and understanding that you've done so much for us and yet you yet want to do, God. Father, this message today that you told me to remind them, this is the one thing you need. You need, if you have it, which is godly vision. If you have it, you're going to have to fight to keep it, because there's going to be things that's coming in the earth that's trying to discourage you, that make you think that you're all alone, and make you think that you got to do this by yourself. But the Bible says that he is our Father, amen. And because he's our Father and we're his children, he's going to see that he takes care of us every step of the way till he returns again. So, Lord, we thank you, give you praise as we lift up this prayer for you today. Thank you for our time together, God. Thank you for even the word of faith that you've given us to speak, Father. We pray even now over Kaiser today. We pray even now that the kingdom of God will come in Kaiser. It is here. We pray that it will advance even more. We pray that you bless the mayor of this city, that you do a work in his heart, do a work in his mind. Help him to govern by your dealings on his heart. We pray for education, the kids, amen. We pray for academic success, amen, and the students and the teachers that have good relationship. Father, we pray even now that you just keep us from hurt, harm, and danger, unseen danger in this community, in this area. Bless our police force. Do a work in their hearts and their minds, Father, as we come before you today in the name of Jesus, collectively as believers, God. We pray for academic success. We pray even for economic success that will come in Kaiser. People will look at Kaiser and they may say, this ain't happening, and it ain't happening. But we give you permission to come in and bring new companies in Kaiser that will create employment for people, God. Begin to move in such a powerful way that will cause even your will to be done, to bless the lives of the people that are in this city and in this community, God. God, we give you praise even now as we stand in this place. We thank you for the word of faith that you've given us to speak in the lives of these people today. We pray in Jesus' name that you keep us safe from any hurt, harm, and danger, God. We bind the spirit of sickness and infirmity and disease that may invade somebody's body. We command it to leave their body now in Jesus' name. We declare your liberty and your freedom over these people. God, we pray that you bless our children, God. Keep them, God. Watch over them, God. Bless the parents that are raising their children, God. Bless that mother that's raising her child without that husband. Amen. Just begin to move in a special way, God. So, Lord, we give you praise. We thank you today because you are worthy to receive all the glory, all the honor, and the praise. Somebody say, in Jesus' name. That's just part one. I got some more. I got a whole lot more. I do, praise God. Because God, if you didn't get anything else, the devil wants to alter your appetite from the Word of God. Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. So praise God. I'm hoping to see you tonight. If not, I know that you didn't make it. Praise God. But we hope to see you tonight. God bless you. Keep us in prayer. Amen.